election results.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to miss you. You've got about another month left, right?
Exactly a month left. December 15th is my last day.
Chair, it is 10 o'clock and the record button has been hit. So whenever you are ready to call to order, we are ready for you.
Okay, everybody, we are live. We will call the meeting to order. It's the meeting of the Housing Committee, Homelessness Committee, I should say. And we'll do roll call.
Thank you and good morning, everybody. Agua Caliente, City of Blythe, City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella, Desert Healthcare District, City of Desert Hot Springs.
Here.
City of Indian Wells.
Present.
City of Indio.
Present.
City of La Quinta. City of La Quinta.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Present.
City of Palm Springs. City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
And Riverside County, 4th District.
Here.
Chair, you have a quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to public comment. Erica, do we have any public comments this morning?
Chair, we received no written comments, and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item number 4, which is chair, committee, and staff announcements. We'll move on to staff.
Well, thank you. First of all, good morning, everybody. We do have a few announcements. I want to start off with the one that is mentioned in your agenda, if we can get the screen share started here. Last week, there was the grand opening of Veterans Village in Cathedral City. This has been a project that's been worked on for some time. And I mention it because for our Housing First program and the clients in the CV 200, this is a housing complex that's really going to help. In a minute, you're going to meet Mr. Joseph Parker. He is a CV 200 client whom we helped. We, along with others in the Coachella Valley, in order to get him housing. Mr. Parker is quite the storyteller and spoke for a little over 11 minutes at this event. We won't show you the entire part, but I will say one of the things that he said before we show this clip is that he's, quote, living proof that the programs worked. That's a pretty powerful statement from somebody who was on our streets and now has a roof over his head. So we're going to show you about a little under a 2-minute clip here, if you'll indulge us, from Mr. Parker.
And so one day I was driving the car, tears in my eyes, and I heard a voice says, go to McDonald's and get a drink. And I went to McDonald's. I was crying. I sat in the car. And there was this great big gray bus to the left of me. And that was the day, the hour, the minute, my whole poverty, everything, that was my breakthrough day. And I met a gentleman, and he's sitting right there. His name was Ivan.
Yeah, Ivan.
That guy right there, I will give the shirt off my back. Yes, ma'am, I would. Ivan believed in me. He told me about this place. And I didn't think, I said, oh, no, man, you got to have all this good credit. I've been to hell and back twice, you know. And he said, well, you know, well, here's a bottle of water. He offered me a bottle of water. And that was amazing. And then things started going from there, processing. And then he called me and said, hey, we got a place for you and your daughter in Cathedral City. And so they housed me there. And he introduced me to his staff. Now, this is the making of the team. It's a strange thing because I believe that as you gotta, in order to win, you gotta have winning on the inside. Because when you lose everything, you surely better have either God on your side or a good praying mother or a good friend with a lot of money or a girlfriend with an apartment or something. But in this case, I saw a team start coming together.
And Erica, I think we lost the video.
There we go. Yeah, sorry. We were having a minor hiccup there. So anyway, we did want to show that, as you can see from Mr. Parker. He, like I said, quite the storyteller. We were one of many agencies who were able to help him. Council Member Carnevale was at the event, certainly been part of this project. I know he wanted to say a few words as well.
Thank you, Erica, for that. Yeah, if he wouldn't have been such a good speaker, I think there wouldn't have been a dry in that house there. But he just only told one story of so many, how they got to the village here in Cathedral City. I personally met a gentleman months ago. He was homeless. He'd been sleeping at his kid's house for a couple of days, or a friend's house for a couple of days, 80-year-old veteran. And I'd mentioned it to him, and he was able to be placed in there. So all these stories you hear are great, but it's how they wind up there that is so beautiful. And, you know, this project started with one of my best buddies in the whole world, Greg Pettis, John Aguilar. You know, they saw this need, and along with Greg Rodriguez, they put a thing together. Cathedral City put some property together, donated some money. And after that, it was just a collaborative effort to get it going. The only problem is it was, 10 years, Greg, something like that. It was just too long, you know, for this to happen. But the beautiful part, it's there. And there's everything they need there. These are almost luxurious apartments that UHC communities have put together. There's about 10 projects that they've done. And I truly believe if each and every one of you bring it back to your council, I know Indio already has a facility there, but I think every city in California should have one of these, and we would have all the veterans housed here. And if we can do it, if UHC can do it, you know, everybody can do it. And another beautiful thing about this, there's an outreach program there that's put on, and that it's called Turn, and they for 24/7, if anybody, you don't need to be living there, you can seek help, and they'll plan on how they can help you in your future if you're a veteran. And, you know, when you think of a veteran, you think of a 90-year-old man or 90-year-old woman. There's young veterans out there, 23, 24 years old, that are coming back with very serious mental injuries, alcohol injuries. We all know substance abuse. And there's a program right here in this facility to help these people. And I don't want to keep going, because I can go on for half an hour with this, because it's such a beautiful thing. But I just got to give kudos to everybody that put out there. It was a bunch of people. If I could just mention them, Erica, right quick. I wrote a few things down. Oh, God. And you got to forgive me. I'm fighting this doggone cold that's really killing me. I'm not going to read it. I can't even read right now. But I'm sorry. But anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, if y'all can, you know, take it back to your council, investigate, check it out, and let's do this. If Cathedral City can do it, we all can do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any other comments, Erica, from staff?
I do. I have one more. As you all know, all too well, the city council elections just happened. And across CVAG, we certainly have a number of changes among our committees. Perhaps the committee that is going to see the most changes is the homelessness committee. I just want to acknowledge that several of your members, including Mayor Townsend, who's here, Council Member Bernheimer, Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez, and your two former chairs, Savvy Jonathan and Christy Holsage, both of whom sent their regrets, could not be here, and wanted to extend appreciation. But from staff's point, we did want to thank you for your time and service and leadership, particularly as we transitioned from Roy's into the Housing First philosophy, and now into an in-house Housing First program, which is really making a difference in the community. So thank you all. I don't know if anyone else wants to expand on that, but those were my comments.
I do have
thank you,
a
Erica,
quick...
And we certainly share those, and Karina, I'll get to you in just a second.
Sure, thank you.
We certainly agree with those comments. Our committee is going to be affected probably more than any other committee in CVAG. And I know that we have a lot of long-serving council members that were very active in this committee and will certainly miss their voice, but they're always welcome to come back in. Right, Charlie? We told you at the beginning, you can always come back and give us your thoughts. So
I get 3 minutes, right?
And best wishes to all of those who are rotating up. Karina.
Thank you, Chair. I am filling in for our Mayor Pro Tem, Savvy Jonathan, who could unfortunately not be here today, but I do serve on Palm Desert's Homelessness Committee with him. And I wanted to echo what Councilmember Carnevale mentioned, that when I did a ride along with Brett, he mentioned that veterans are especially difficult to place because the U.S. military has done such a great job of training them to survive anywhere. So yeah. they move also in higher numbers. So it's difficult for the follow-up. So I'm greatly, greatly appreciative to all of the efforts that made this possible to have such an additionally vulnerable population. So, and in regards to all of the change, I will be requesting whomever our new mayor will be able to be part of this committee to continue the work that I'm doing in Palm Desert as part of this great regional effort. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, Councilmember. I just want to echo a goodbye and we'll miss you to those that are leaving. So it's been really a pleasure, especially this last 5 years working with a lot of you. You know, we entered in, as you know, when supervisor was appointed was the month that Roy's was shutting down and we transitioned to Housing First. So it was quite a transitional period. But what I've also seen over the time, too, is the amazing amount of knowledge that you have all gotten over Housing First, as well as what the complexities of this issue is. You know, I think we all thought there's so much more we could do, but we didn't realize how to do it. And I think you can see the amount of resources that are required on this. You know, I'm totally against throwing money at stuff, but unfortunately, this is the issue we have to throw money at. What I've really enjoyed seeing, too, is the transition about not just dealing with the immediate and homelessness aspect, but really the long-term solution around housing. And I really applaud a lot of the cities on this call that have really advanced the production of affordable housing, because we will never be able to solve this problem without more units, whether it's transitional units or permanent units. So I'm going to miss those of you that are leaving, but look forward to continue to work with those of you that remain.
Thank you, Greg. Any other comments from the committee members?
No, I would like to say, give a shout out to Savvy, because the 9 years that I have been on this commission, Savvy has worked so hard, and I've never seen anybody, as everybody is dedicated, but he really went overboard with this commission, and he held it very close to his heart. So I just want to say, Savvy, fabulous to have seen you work through all these years and all that you have done. I'm sure and I know it's greatly appreciated by all of us. Thank you.
I will be sure to relay that to him tomorrow.
Thank you.
Absolutely. From all of us.
If I may, Councilmember, you know, I agree. And the kudos got to go to all the heavy lifting and the shoulders that kept getting us this far. Because I, along with Charles, you know, I've been on this about 8 years and I've seen so many dramatic changes and great changes, but it was on everybody's shoulders that just kept us going. So I'm really excited for the new members to come in. We'll work with them and they'll be up to speed much, much more than we were back 8 years ago and 7 years ago. So so the positive thing is in 4 more years, we're going to be greater now. So greater than now. So I'm excited about change. Change is good. We're going to miss you all. That's for Doug, especially you, Charlie. You're the greatest. And of course, Savvy, you know, so yeah, I'm excited about the next year coming.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? One more thing, what you said, if Cathedral City can do it, there's no reason why all of us couldn't do it also. And, I know that your door would be open to any of the cities or any of the council people who are going to be on this program to come and chat with you on
absolutely
how to hold this group.
Absolutely.
Well, and we're certainly not going to lose their service. I see them serving on some ad hoc committees going forward anyway. So we will keep you involved any way that we can. I also want to acknowledge that Councilmember Rodriguez and Director Rogers has joined us as well, too. So I want to note that for the record. Okay. With that, then, we'll...
I have my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let me put that down. There we go. First of all, good morning and happy Veterans Day. We just had Veterans Day that just passed. And there's a couple of things like Mr. Carnevale said. I could go for a half an hour talking, but I do want to share these resource pamphlets that we're doing in Indio. I talked to some of you about it. And we've had different programs like this where we give them out to our unsheltered folks that we run into on the streets. We leave them at businesses. And it has all of our local services from Martha's Village and Kitchen, the food pantries, homelessness services through the county. And they fold out. We've had them before, but these were the new ones that we have as a Salvation Army, ABC Recovery Center, Riverside County Behavioral Health Clinic. And so this is something that we've started in India a few years back. These are just the new ones. However, I want to work with staff on really going digital with this, and also going to our colleagues, whether it's Assembly, Senate, or even our congressmen, take this to the federal level digital. And the reason why I say this is everything's online now. But if you are in a situation where you're unsheltered or less fortunate, it's hard to navigate resources and services. And I think we all agree that in the Coachella Valley, we have a plethora of resources. We're doing good. There's a lot of good work going on. There's a lot of folks on this Zoom that do excellent, excellent work. But sometimes it's hard to find them, or we don't know where to find them. So I talked to some of the congressman's staff and also creating an app where you could go in there. I mean, we have 211, we have 288. We have all these different ways of finding things. But why not have an app on our government phones that we give out, because some of those folks are the ones who have the most challenges. And so why can't we have something that is centralized there? If we're going to see that, it's an app. And if you live in Palm Desert, go to Palm Desert, and now you have all these resources. And if it's CDP, if it's, so there's a lot of different things. That's just an idea that I have that I'm going to start working on. And these are real successful. And also I like to ask staff, if we could reach out, I don't know if it's Caltrans, I don't know if it's Union Pacific, but what are they doing as far as our unsheltered folks near the rail systems? That's an issue that we have from Los Angeles all the way to Thermal, and we're seeing uptick in that in the Coachella Valley. And sometimes when you're in the freeways, you kind of don't notice it because you're focused on the road. But if we look in those tamarisk trees, those encampments are starting to grow. And it's not only just a homelessness issue, it's a public safety issue and a safety issue, because it's very dangerous to congregate around those trains. And I mean, I've been out there talking to folks, and I know some of our outreach teams, but what are we doing as far as whether Southern Pacific or Caltrans in that respect? And before I conclude, I want to piggyback off what Mr. Rodriguez said about the housing. You know, as far as us as policymakers, we have to be innovative. And one of the things that we've done in India, we purchase land and we have land. So we've gone to council in the public and explained how dire the affordable housing situation is. So we deed property to some of these developers because it's affordable housing from the ground up, from dirt all the way to the wood. And especially in a time with inflation like this, it's hard to build affordable housing. And that's one of the good things that we did in India, working with some of our partners and developers and things. And I mean, I'm happy to say that we have 1,000 affordable housing units either in planning or construction right now. Wow. And that's about being innovative and thinking outside of the box, working with our partners, looking and see what other models are going on around the country. So, but I just want to just reiterate, you know, these pamphlets are very good to give out to the public, especially our businesses, because a lot of folks congregate around the businesses. And like I said, I could go all day, but I'll conclude.
I know, you could.
thank you, Chair. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, any other comments before we move on?
If you don't mind, I have one more. Since sure. The mayor kicked the can here, I got to show a little project that I just brought to the police chief here. I was traveling through San Bernardino and stopped off at a fast food restaurant, and there was a sign underneath a handicap sign at a parking spot. And the sign was about the same size. It's probably about a 12 by 15 inch sign. And what it read was positive change, not spare change. Don't support panhandling. Give to charity or call. And it said the police department in the county of San Bernardino. And it said for homeless assistance, call this number. So I looked into it. Deanna found out they cost about $100 a sign. So I'm picking up 12 of these signs, and we're going to place them, go to, you know, high volume, high panhandling areas like AMPMs or Jack in the Boxes, and let's see if they could allow them to put there for public awareness. You know, you're not doing anybody any favor when you're giving them the money there. So I thought it was a real message that out there for, especially at, for people that don't know that what they're doing is not the right thing to do. So if anybody's interested with that, I'd be glad to share with you. I can send you pictures and photos and send that to you. And I'm doing it out of my discretionary money because I don't want to go to my council and ask for money. They go out of their mind. So I'm going to do this out of my discretionary money and see how it works and if it's proven really good and helpful. Yeah, so yeah. I just wanted to pass that on. And thank you, Mayor, for bringing your idea up too. It's very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. That sounds great. Please send that out to Erica.
Okay. I'll get it to Erica and she can pass everything forward. Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. Moving on, we'll move on to the consent calendar. If there aren't any changes, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to accept.
Is there a second?
Mr. Gregg, I'll second.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor, please raise your hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Any opposed?
Abstain from Indio. I wasn't present the last meeting.
Okay, with one abstention.
If I may do the same, I was not present on SEBI.
Okay. Two abstentions. Erica's got that. Okay, we'll move on to our
discussion. I'm sorry, Chair, just to clarify, is that on the entire consent calendar or a specific item?
Probably on A, I would imagine, for both of you.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to item 6A, the discussion. It's the REAP 2.0 housing infill project, and it's going to be staff report by Peter.
All right. Good morning, committee members, esteemed chair. I'm going to be talking a little bit this morning about a potential housing infill project that CBAG thinks looks very promising under some of the REAP 2.0 funding programs. Those of you that were here in the September meeting may recall that I presented an update on the REAP 2.0 program, including some of the funding buckets and also how SCAG was looking at applying those funds throughout the valley. One of the programs that they had identified for funding was this sub-regional partnership program under which CBAG would have had a non-competitive allocation of about $542,000. And this money was really intended for housing element implementation, but there was a clause that would allow this money to be used for what SCAG is calling their PAC program. I have it here, the program to accelerate transformative housing. At the time, there were no guidelines for that program, so it was kind of just like floating out there in the ether. We didn't really know what it was for, but we were looking forward to seeing what it was going to be applied to. And as discussion of that item ensued, many of members of this committee expressed frustrations that, you know, none of this REAP money could really go to, you know, put doors on hinges, as it were. No, there was no building money. So since then, SCAG has actually released guidelines for this PAC program. And one of the sub-allocations under this program is, again, another unwieldy acronym, but the Housing Infill on Public and Private Lands. And this specific program is actually geared explicitly towards putting houses on the ground. The goals of the program are to scale up development of surplus and excess publicly owned land on specific sites already serviced by existing utilities and transit. And money may be applied towards site feasibility, environmental review, and engineering. And projects that can demonstrate construction will likely begin within 5 years are going to be given priority. And these guidelines were approved by SCAG's regional council earlier this month. So these are the final guidelines pending approval by the state. So when CBAG saw these project goals, you know, this got our wheels spinning. There were a few interesting things we were thinking about, largely in connection to our CV Link project. So as we've been building out CV Link, CBAG has come to own assorted parcels or other real property interests across this multimodal pathway spanning the entire Coachella Valley. A lot of these parcels are kind of awkward shapes. They're weird sizes. They don't really allow for a lot of development when you have to include things like parking or, you know, what have you. But they do almost entirely, they are by dint of being acquired for CV Link. They're all immediately adjacent to alternative transportation routes. And many of them are also next to regional shopping centers that include things like groceries and transit stops. So these got our wheels turning, and kind of in keeping with some of the earlier discussion during the staff and committee member comments, CVAC is interested in looking at these available surplus lands that are along these transit and transportation routes as potential locations for increased crisis stabilization units and or permanent supportive housing, especially when we're looking at things kind of like micro housing. So you can put some smaller, almost tiny homes on these parcels, kind of up the density a little bit. And because they're being served by either transit or alternative transportation and are near these retail centers, these seem to be excellent locations for folks that may or may not have, or in all likelihood don't have a car, but may have access to a bike or other sorts of transit options. So what we're proposing to do actually with our allocation of this SCAG money, this REAP 2.0 money, is to conduct a survey of surplus rights of way, particularly those rights of way along CV Link. Certainly those parcels owned by CVAG, but also including any parcels that member agencies might have an interest in exploring as well. And to see if we can use these parcels to build out crisis stabilization units or other supportive housing. With the end goal of actually identifying an explicit pilot project. So, you know, having gone through the survey, identifying a parcel or, you know, parcels that we can say, this is a good candidate. We'd like to actually, you know, build these houses out. So we're bringing this to you at a kind of a conceptual level right now for a few reasons. One is the scheduling of all this funding and applications as required by SCAG. I'll caveat this by saying a little bit that getting these timelines down for the applications is a little bit like trying to catch a fish with your bare hands. Every time SCAG releases a deadline and you think you know what you have to apply for, they're like, oh, no, we're going to move it out. And then, or like, oh, no, that project is good, but you should, you know, apply to this program. So that all being said, as it currently stands, the current subregional partnership program application which is the non-competitive bucket of funding, those applications are due early February, February 10th to be exact. And given the holiday schedule and the fact that many of our meetings go dark in January, this current meeting and the next executive committee meeting are really the only times that we may have to bring this project to our elected boards for scoping, comment, and feedback. So we're here today seeking approval at the conceptual level to move this project forward. And I don't have a written recommendation slide for you guys, but we are seeking authorization for the executive director to take the necessary steps to apply for the Southern California Association of Governments Regional Early Action Planning 2.0 program for a project that assesses public right-of-way availability for affordable housing and a micro-housing pilot project. With that, I will happily take any questions.
Thank you, Peter. Questions for staff? Greg?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't really have questions, but I've worked with Peter on both REAP 1 and this REAP 2. I could even go further on the issues with SCAG, but I won't on this call. To me, this is the best use of these non-competitive dollars. We were even thinking about not going for REAP 2 just because we didn't really feel there was any kind of use we could utilize. But with the Surplus Land Act, as well as what is intended under REAP 2, this is an excellent use of these uncompetitive funds. Additionally, too, is if we set this groundwork, we can go after other dollars for infill financing for the housing portions of it. I think it's a great opportunity to look at new types of housing product, whether that's modular type buildings as well. To Peter's point, I hate using the words tiny homes because it has a different connotation, and I saw Peter hesitate on that. But again, it's smaller footprints and modular type things and a new product. And I think it'd be an awesome complement to CV Link, actually. And it's really that multimodal housing and transportation, and I think could be a real model. So I would actually, with that, move staff recommendation, but definitely not cutting off any discussions.
Right. Yeah, we won't do that. Is there a second to that? Okay, there's a motion and a second under discussion as well, too. Any other comments or questions for staff? You know, Peter, as we're thinking, you know, we just talked about the veterans thing. It'd be a great thing to do something along those lines. Whether, you know, we're all members of SCAG, whether we could maybe pool some of our funds together to do that. Maybe in this conceptual study, we can look at other things that might accelerate or even add to the pot of money that we can use from all of us. So, because it would certainly help all of our cities. So we can throw that in there as well, too.
I will let the members here know that this PATH program that we will be applying under for non-competitive fund will also, there's going to be an even larger pot of competitive funding that is going to be open to not only local agencies, but also nonprofits and stuff like that. I'll certainly bring that in that idea forward to SCAGO and see if there's any way we can make a competitive application for some more funding.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, because I know that this committee has said, you know, we're tired of doing studies. Let's get some sticks in the ground. Okay, thank you. So there is a motion. Second, is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take a vote. Okay, all in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Aye.
And with the last aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Peter. Okay, we'll move on to item number B, which is the federal and state legislative advocacy for 2023. And Mr. Martinez, you're going to give that report.
Good morning, Honorable Chair Pena, members of the committee, Emmanuel Martinez. Some of you have seen this presentation before since you serve on probably more than just this committee. So I'll be brief. This is our federal state legislative advocacy update. We're seeking input from the committee to make sure we have a nice, coherent legislative platform. By way of background, the Ferguson Group represents us in Washington, D.C., the political group in Sacramento. Our legislative platform was first adopted earlier this year in February, important document to engage on priorities for CVAG, particularly for the various committees. So we try to capture all those in this document. And although there's not a lot of change from year to year, we do expect the majority of the issues to carry over into the new legislative cycle. We do take a look at the document and tweak it and make sure it's updated and reflects the committee's priorities. The categories are transportation, being one of the largest departments at CVAG, energy and environment, homeless and housing, public safety, broadband, and there's a fighting for fairness section in there as well. The updates are minor, but they include stronger language regarding local control programs and funding, also stronger language regarding advocacy for tools that are not the Cal Enviro screen. The Cal Enviro screen does not really help the Coachella, doesn't help the Coachella Valley compete for funding. And so we're looking at advocating on other metrics. Also, programs regarding the Inflation Reduction Act are in there, given it just recently passed, and those are rolling out. Heat mitigation and climate resiliency is a priority at the state, a lot of dollars there, and also support for local funding mechanisms, sub-regional funding mechanisms that have been approved in other counties. And so those are some of the minor technical updates to the platform. This document is going to all of CVAG's committees. It's already gone to these first two committees. Went to public safety, and we're here before you today. That way we can collect all the various comments and make sure we have a well cohesive platform for our executive committee meeting of December 5th. So if you have any comments or questions, we'll take them now. Or if you want to take a look at the platform and want to get back to us, you can do so by the end of next week, and we'll be happy to incorporate your comments into the platform. With that, that's my presentation, and be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff? And they are highlighted in the report. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Mr. Martinez and get those comments in as well.
And there are two sections just to draw the committee's attention. There's both a state and a federal section of the legislative platform. I tried to highlight both for you.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So the recommendation is to review it. Do you need a motion for that, Erica?
No, we don't. Just to reiterate what Emmanuel said, in order to provide, if you do have feedback or ideas, feel free to reach out to staff directly.
Okay,
we can look at that
before. So I think there's a consensus to move forward. Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll move on to item number C, which is the statewide pause on funding for homelessness services. Erica.
Yeah, I'm actually going to hand this off to Greg. Attached in your packet is a short staff report as well as the governor's announcement about funding, putting a pause on funding. You may have seen some of this in the news. The county's been engaged quite a bit since this announcement came out, and Greg is here to provide an update.
Okay, great.
Yes, I was up at a rural housing conference 2 weeks ago. Today and yesterday or tomorrow, and we were all blindsided. So, I mean, you're talking major homeless advocates and housing providers. In reading the governor's frustration, I get it. The county gets it, but it's really geared more towards your larger counties like LA, Sacramento, San Diego, and not so much San Diego. I will give San Diego credit. They're on the right track. His major concern was around the percentage of metrics and basically the average of only a 2% success rate, which, of course, none of us would want to see. We actually went in as a county on our original HAP action plan with a 25% success rate. And we were told by the governor's technical assistance staff on these was to lower those expectations to hopefully get bonus dollars. So the governor's aware of those concerns. That's all been on tape with other organizations hearing the same thing. What basically has happened, and just to keep in mind too, and most of you know, is that in addition to the homeless or to the HAP action plan, the county had already, we unveiled, as you know, our 5-year strategic action plan, which even has more aggressive goals over that 5-year period. So it was a little frustrating to us as a county because not only are we on the right track in the Coachella Valley, but we are definitely leading statewide in the activities that we're doing on a holistic way, especially leveraging dollars like HAP dollars with HEAP dollars, with ARPA, with CARES, and I can go on and on with all the acronyms, but we don't want to be penalized on that. So what the situation is now, and we've already gotten word from the state that this is going to be somewhat tampered back, that they're going to be looking at how some of the jurisdictions that they're more concerned about can revamp their action plans and get them more in line with the next round of HAP4 funding. So the chairs of each county's supervisory board, as well as the mayors of the 13 big cities, will be meeting with the governor's office in Sacramento on Friday. There's already been discussions between League of Cities, CSAC, other advocacy groups about how we move forward on this. So we're not anticipating losing the money, but we definitely too want to make the governor aware that we don't want to be blindsided like this. And again, this is no, I personally, it's just no attack on the governor because he's given more to us than we've ever had in homelessness and housing. I think it's just the way about staff went about this as well. I will say too, is that I've been working with a statewide working group called Bring California Home over the last 2 to 3 months on actually advocating this next legislative session to make HAP funding a permanent source and an ongoing source, and actually allocating 3-year cycles and actually upping the allocation amount from $1 billion to $3 billion a year. We are getting good feedback from the governor's office on this proposal. Of course, it all depends on budget, but the vast majority of legislators within Sacramento are very supportive of HAP because of the flexibility, because of the way that it can address primarily permanent and supportive housing, as well as some transitional housing as well. So that's some of the updates. It's not as dire as we thought it was going to be 2 weeks ago, and more than happy to answer questions. Excuse the voice. I'm dealing with the same thing as Marcus. So,
yeah, that seems to be, that bug seems to be going around. Any questions for Greg?
Oh, I'm Erica? Sorry, Chair. Just to clarify for the committee's knowledge, this doesn't affect CV Housing First's right. Current funding sources. We do have HAPS funding for our mobile access center. This affects, though, future rounds that CVAG and other agencies in the Coachella Valley may have been going after. So just wanted to just point that out.
Okay. And for the record, too, that we I want to note that the council member from Agua Caliente has joined us as well. Welcome. So this is an informational item. We'll move on to item number 7, which is information.
I do have a question, Chair, if I may.
Sure, I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand.
I want to clarify. I'm not sure if I understood that you were saying that Riverside County's original goal was 25% and that you were encouraged to reduce that goal to be more successful. Is that, did I get that correct?
And we weren't the only county. So a lot of counties went in because we were told to be bold in the beginning about how we wanted to reduce our unsheltered populations and get them into transitional and permanent housing. So we kind of based our goal off of our 5-year action plan, but scaled it down to where it would fit in with that 1-year, 2-year period with HAP. And we were told by technical assistance, and it's not a bad thing in a way, because I was on the call when this happened and other counties were as well, is that they didn't want people to set expectations so high that they didn't meet it and then would be penalized, and that there was actually opportunities for bonus funding. Unfortunately, what has happened, though, and it's a great question, Karina, is that some counties, the way they calculated stuff is the way the average worked out. It just, I mean, it really was like a 2% thing. And, you know, we're like, however that happened, we don't know. So.
And a follow-up question, does that impact the funding that Riverside was already on hold for the care courts or care and home services?
No, totally separate pots of money. The care court funding is budgeted allocation. The only funding that's come for that so far is for upfront implementation stuff of the first cohort, which Riverside County is part of. The home court is totally separate. We do that out of the county, general funds that's run through both the sheriff and the DA's office, and it's part of our regular special court systems that we do.
Thanks again.
But I will say, though, if it was put on hold, between the county of Riverside, and I think this is in Erica's staff report, and the city of Riverside, it's like a $60 to $18 million loss of dollars. So, but we're knock on wood, we're assured that's not going to happen. So,
okay. Thank you for that. We'll move on to the informational items. They are attached for your information. We do have ex officio updates. I don't know if there's anybody that wants to do an ex officio update.
Chair, I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Okay, thank you. With that, we'll move on to item number 8, public comment on non-agenda items. Erica, do we have anybody that wishes to give a public comment?
We didn't receive any written comments, and I also don't see any hands raised.
Okay. With that, we'll move on to item number 9, which is announcements. Our next meeting will be January 18th at 10 o'clock, and the executive committee meeting will be held on Monday, December 5th. So with that, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy, and we'll miss all the members who are leaving this committee, but please stay in touch. And again, thank you for your service as well, too. So with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Chair, you can actually just adjourn. You don't need a motion.
Okay. Well, we can do that then. We are adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Well, happy holidays.